quarter two and H1 results and investor presentation that are available on our website and on our exchanges. I am also joined by Mr. Rohan Shah, Director of Finance and CFO, who will assist me in answering your queries. After my brief, he will share financial performance of the company in detail and we take then the question. A crucial factor in country's growth is the energy sector, where efforts are being amplified to reduce dependency on imports. India is the third largest importer of oil and gas, currently relies on imports for around 85% of energy needs. In FY24, the country imported 233 million metric tons of crude oil, a slight increase from FY23. These heavy dependence underscores the critical importance of increasing domestic production. To address these challenges, the government has opened more than 1 million square kilometers for exploration and production, areas previously classified as no-go zones. The open fisheries licensing program is central to these efforts. The 10th round of bidding for oil and gas assets is scheduled to take place early next year, offering fresh opportunities for companies like Deep Industries. At Deep, we see immense benefit from OALT initiative. It aligns perfectly with our strategic objectives, allowing us to expand our footprint in oil and gas services sector. By leveraging the opportunities from OALP rounds, we are well positioned to contribute to increasing domestic oil and gas production, thereby supporting our country's goal of achieving greater energy security. Through OALP, India aims to enhance crude oil and natural gas production, which is vital for reducing imports and ensuring long-term energy independence. As the energy demands of the nation continue to grow, Deep Industries remain committed to playing a pivotal role in this transformative journey. In conclusion, as India continues on this path of economic expansion and strengthens its energy infrastructure, the potential for growth is immense. We at Deep Industries are excited to be part of this journey, helping to drive the nation's progress while ensuring a sustainable energy future. Now let's review our quarterly performance. The second quarter and half year have demonstrated solid growth backed by a strong flow of orders and a promising bidding pipeline. A key recent win is Rs. 1402 crore production enhancement contract from ONGC set for a duration of 15 years. This contract aims to boost production from ONGC mature field in Rajahmundry, aligning its ONGC's goal to increase hydrocarbon output and enhance reserves. Through this contract, we will earn services revenue linked to production increases. Although the contract spans 15 years, and since it is front-loaded, majority of the revenue will be booked in the first 10 years. This contract is the first of its kind from ONGC, with more rounds likely to follow. Our public sector units and private clients are also introducing PECs, and with our 30 years in the industry, we are well positioned to secure similar projects in the future. Consistent with our EBITDA margins of around 40% in other verticals, we anticipate margins above 40% for these production enhancement contracts as well. Such high-value contracts with excellent margins are expected to significantly improve both our top and bottom lines. Execution of this contract will commence in 7 to 8 months, targeting the next financial year. With this new order, our order book has been more than doubled. Growth is evident across all verticals, including this new PEC segment. We anticipate additional valuable contracts to be added in our order book in the coming 3 to 6 months, alongside strong bidding pipeline conversation within our regular business verticals. The update on the Baj asset Prabha is that the refurbishment is now in the final stage of completion, and we expect it to contribute the revenue from quarter four onwards. The refurbishment process has taken a little more time than our initial estimates. However, in such kind of major refurbishments, such delays can happen due to some unforeseeable circumstances beyond our control. Having said so, we have already started generating operational revenue from Dolphin and are confident that synergies generated out of the acquisition of Dolphin Offshore would be ROE accretive for the company as a whole. We are highly optimistic about the robust bidding pipelines, which will add further to our strong order book over the next few years. This optimism is bolstered by the promising and favorable macroeconomic scenario. With a solid foundation and strategic positioning, we are well prepared to capitalize on the opportunities presented by this favorable environment. Our confidence is further reinforced by the positive economic indicators and market trends, which suggest sustained growth and profitability. As we look ahead, we are committed to capitalize on these opportunities for maximizing shareholder value and achieve long-term success. With this, I would now hand over to Mr. Rohan Shah, who will share financial details. Thank you for joining and patient listening. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Rohan sir is connecting.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go on.
Hello.
Paras sir, should we begin the question and answer session?
Yeah, yeah. Please go ahead. I think it's now Rohan Shah is
going
to continue,
no?
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. Sir is connected.
Yeah. Thank you, Bharat Bhai. Investor friends, thank you for joining the call today. Happy to share with you another stellar quarterly and half-yearly performance of Deep Industries Limited. All the comparisons are on year-on-year basis, which would provide fair evaluation. Consolidated revenue from quarterly and half-yearly operations rose 29% to rupees 130.62 crore and 25% to 254.07 crore. The strong growth momentum in top line comes from execution of our existing orders as well as consistent new order flows. Tight control over costing and operational efficiencies have helped us post growth in EBITDA to rupees 64.60 crores in Q2 FY25 with EBITDA margins of 46.9% for our half yearly EBITDA has shown growth of 46% to 126.04 crore. We have been maintaining the margins in the range of 45%, providing us decent cash flow to strategize our future growth trajectory. Net profit for the second quarter and half year stood at rupees 41.54 crore, up by 40%, and rupees 80.29 crore, up by 32% year on year. Our order book has grown to rupees 2,622 crore, almost 119% higher than Q2 FY24. The financial year 25 is shaping up to be a landmark year for us as we are on track to achieve our highest ever revenue, EBITDA and net profit. Building on last year's strong performance, the second quarter has further strengthened our position for this fiscal year. With government initiatives expected to boost infrastructure, exploration and production sector investments, particularly in the energy sector, we anticipate maintaining our upward trajectory throughout the rest of the year. With this, I now open the forum for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mukesh Pajwani from WC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, sir. Congratulations for great set of numbers.
Thank you.
So my question is regarding our asset, that is Prabha.
Right.
What is the status right now? Has the refurbishment complete, and from when we are expecting to get the revenues out of it, and what kind of revenues we should expect now?
Yes, so the refurbishment is in final stage, and we believe it should start contributing to revenue from Q4. The refurbishment process has taken little more time than our initial estimates. However, such kind of major refurbishment, such delay is might happen. So these are the circumstances which are beyond our control. But yes, having said so, it will start from Q4 and start contributing in revenue. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, what kind of revenues can we expect? Like in the last phone call, you said that it would be like $50,000 per day.
So yes, in fact, 50,000 is what we expect minimum revenue per day. Currently, the rates are even higher than 50,000.
Okay. So it can be even better.
Correct.
Okay. And sir, how can we expect our H2 as compared to H1 in the terms of revenue and profitability?
Yeah, it has been seen in past, in majority of years, our H2 has always been higher than H1. And so we believe this year will also continue the same trend. And our H2 would definitely be higher in terms of revenue than H1.
Okay, that is great, sir. So that is all from my side. I'll join the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudhir Bida from Bida Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and first of all, congratulations to entire lead team for giving the outstanding and historically high numbers for Q2.
So, thank you.
Congrats. Sir, my question pertaining to FY26. See, there are two major events positively will contribute to the top line and bottom line. One is production sharing enhancement contracts, which will start, I think, from next year. And then deployment of bars, which you just said will be revenue will start from the Q4. So we will get the next year, full year operation of the bars. So two
Correct.
Major events are would be there, which will have a positive impact on the earnings. So considering this, what kind of growth do you foresee in FY26 as far as profit and top line is concerned?
See, we are quite bullish on these two opportunities, as you rightly said. These two opportunities will start contributing in FY26. Like the barge should contribute full year revenue, and production enhancement contract should start contributing from FY26 onwards. So putting all together, we believe we can have a growth of almost 35% year on year. Like last financial year, we closed somewhere around 426 crore. This year, we are expecting almost 35% growth to close FY25. And similar amount of growth we are expecting for FY26. So our estimate says that we can close FY26 top line somewhere around 800 crore.
Oh, great. That is a great news. So, again, thanks for that. And, sir, my second question is, like, if we should see order book, the major contribution is, like, a production sharing contract. If we remove that, there is not much orders are coming in last 3-4 months. So what are the pipeline of our core business orders for next 2-3 months?
So we are expecting a few big orders from our core business as well. So our core business order book is somewhere around 1,250 crore. And we believe a few good amount of orders should come in next 3 to 6 months. And considering the bidding pipeline of almost 800 crore for our regular traditional business, it should continue to grow even further.
Great, great, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and once again, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Nirvana Laha from Badrinath Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I have a few questions on Dolphin. So on the Prabha contract, sir, you know, last year we had said that we expect to get it started in H1. Then it got delayed to October, then November, and now we are seeing Q4. So, sir, with oil price fluctuating, investors are also getting a little jittery about the start of this contract. So if you can give us some more detail on why this is taking so much time, and also if you can say something about the nature of the contract we are looking at. Like, I believe it's possible to get a really long-term contract, like 5 years plus, and it's also possible to get a shorter one. So what is our thought there, and what exactly is causing this delay? And are we now sure that from Q4, 90 days of revenue we'll get in FY25?
Yes, I agree to your point that it has been delayed than our initial estimates. See, this particular barge was idle for more than 3 years and was lying on port in Mexico. So, of course, there was a lot of work has to be done. Our initial estimates were saying that it should not take this much time, but since as and when we open that machinery and barge, some other expenses or some other refurbishment came up which we never anticipated. And so it has taken a long time than what we are estimating. However, as per our recent visit to the asset, it has almost completed the entire. Probably it will start in putting into operation in December itself. However, we are considering it should contribute in revenue of 90 days, considering from January onwards, that is for Q4 only. So such higher size of equipment when you are refurbishing, this type of estimate changes are about to happen because this machinery was idle for more than three and a half years. However, we are quite bullish that it should immediately start operating and start contributing in revenue to the tune of what our initial estimate was of more than $50,000 a day.
Sure, sir. Appreciate the answer. In terms of the contract, if you can say something more, have we already signed with a client, or how easy or difficult is it going to be to sign? Like, do we already have discussions going on with multiple clients? So if you can give us some color on that.
Correct. So currently the discussions are already going on with potential clients, and we are evaluating both possible options, whether to put on charter hire of long term more than 5 years plus, or to have a short term charter hire. We are just evaluating the cost benefit analysis, and whatever best would be in the interest of company, we would go with it. So both long-term and short-term charters have their own pros and cons. And so according to the best possible judgment, we should go with such contracts.
Sure, sir. My next question is, sir, if I look at the CWIP, the capital work in progress in Dolphin has increased sharply from 47 crore in March to 167 crore now. So earlier you had indicated last quarter that we are going to spend around $12 million, like 100 crores for the final refurbishment of Prabha. So looking at this figure, has that cost for Prabha gone up, or is this we are putting capital to use for some other asset?
No, so the cost of Prabha is in range of 12 to 13 million only. So 110 crore is for Prabha. Balance amount was original value of vessel which was there in book, but the amount has been shifted from one subsidiary to another because the asset we have transferred from Mauritius subsidiary to Dubai, and so in Dubai subsidiary it has now parked into CWIP unless the entire refurbishment will complete. So this amount which you are referring to is including of original book value as well as refurbishment cost.
Okay. Okay. All right, sir. And, sir, coming to the other contract that Dolphin is currently executing, the asset in class of a DSV, so how much revenue is pending from that contract for this financial year? And also, if I look at H1 revenue, we have booked about 25 crores, but almost everything has flown into receivables. So what are our payment terms with this client? When do we expect to get the cash for this revenue that we have executed? And how much more revenue can come from this contract in H2?
In H2, we are estimating something around $2 to $3 million to be added into revenue from this particular contract. And with regards to the money flowing, it should start immediately after Diwali.
Okay,
for this particular contract.
Sure, sir. So what are the payment terms with in such repair or asset in class contract?
So in this particular contract, we have a billing methodology on stage-wise, and payment terms are 90 days. And so they are largely in the contract tenure only.
Okay. And, sir, the old receivables of Dolphin, which have been 140 crores since we acquired the company via NCLT after settling all other dues, that has not moved at all. So I believe that there are some arbitration awards that we have won, and which 140 number should come down. So, sir, please give some color on how much we have won, when is the cash expected to hit, and what is the your outlook on the remaining receivables?
Yes, so out of those old receivables, in three of our debtors, we have received arbitration award in our favor. Putting all together, it would be, as of now, I believe it would be more than 33 to 35 crore, which arbitration award is already received in our favor. Just amount has to be flown to us. And in other debtors, we are pursuing for recovery of the receivables, which we believe should definitely come to us.
Sure. When do we expect to collect this 33 crore? When should the cash come in?
Yeah, ideally it should have come now, by now, but since these clients are PSUs, we'll have to give some more time to them. Yeah.
Sure, sir. I have three more questions on the standalone business. Can I ask or should I come back in the queue?
I would request if you can come in the queue again.
Sure. Thank you. I'll join the queue again.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Shukla from Finvestors. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for giving me an opportunity. Sir, one question. Sir, am I audible, sir?
Yes, yes. Please go ahead.
Sir, pertaining to debtor days, sir, continue increasing your debtor days, I want to ask a question about debtor days of your companies.
See, our normal debtor days are in range of 90 to 100 only. The debtors which are appearing high are inclusive of old debtors from Dolphin Group of almost 141 crore. And because of those old debtors, overall debtor days are appearing high. However, that is not the case. Those old debtors, if we can exclude, then our normal debtors are in range of 90 to 100 only.
Okay, sir. Some measures are taken for lowering the debtor days.
Yeah. So I think just before your question, we were discussing on that only about recovery of old debtors from Dolphin. And those recovery will definitely improve overall debtor days.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Heet Javeri from Moneybee. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so my first question is, we have an order book of 2,622 crores. Is that including Dolphin Offshore or is that separate?
No, it is separate.
Okay, so what is the order book for Dolphin, if you can get that?
So Dolphin, we have not yet signed any major contracts. The contracts which we are executing has a balance value of around $2 to $3 million. So that's not much significant in overall order book. So we have not yet added those in the overall order book yet.
Okay. And to reach this 800 crore figure that you mentioned, will we be able to do that using our existing barges and the new contracts that we have with ONGC, or will we expect to, you know, do a larger capex in the next coming year or so?
No, so though our existing order book only will be sufficient to reach to that level. Of course, in production enhancement contract, we'll have to do certain amount of capex, but that has been staggered over a period of 10 to 12 years.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. I'm going to begin with the standalone business. So my first question is more on an opportunity level question. I understand that there are multiple blocks which have been awarded under the OALP program. However, I believe about 10 to 12% of those blocks are actually operational. So going forward, we also, you also articulated that the government has increased, you know, exploration, licensing in areas which were earlier a no-go. But on a industry-wide level, can you please talk about the production capabilities of these different blocks that are coming in picture as of now?
Yes, so with this different rounds of OAL and earlier there were NELP rounds, CBM rounds, and HELP rounds and all. So all put together, to the extent I am in agreement that not all of these blocks are coming under development. But yes, whatever is coming under development will definitely require services which we provide. And with these different rounds, new entrants in the industry are also coming up with bidding of these blocks. The companies which are not predominantly having interest in oil and gas are also getting in this bidding, and they are getting awarded blocks. So for them, we can be a one-stop solution provider for developing their entire field. And so we believe with such awards and with such development programs, our opportunities will tend to increase.
I understand. And I'm new to this industry, so please pardon my lack of knowledge. But so far I've seen that the recent new exploration regions that include a significant amount in the offshore space. I understand that with the Dolphin acquisition and the company's trajectory towards the offshore services, but at this point, I am not sure if you have offshore drilling and production capabilities.
Correct. So we do not have offshore drilling capabilities. In offshore, we would be starting with support services through Dolphin only. But with regards to onshore, we have our full-fledged range of services, and whatever opportunities coming in onshore, we can easily tap them.
I understand. And if I may just ask a question about the order book of the standalone business, how much, you know, on a percentage split level, would it be for drilling and workover as well as the gas processing, please?
Those breakup as of now I'm not having, but I can share separately. So you can be in touch with AdFactor and we'll definitely share those breakups.
Understood. I have a couple of more questions, but I will rejoin the queue. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Raghu from Travest Capital. Please go ahead.
Cool. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is just specifically regarded to the gas processing segment of ours. I just want to understand generally what is the, who are the customers in the gas processing segment? Is it the city gas distributors or is the national gas pipeline grid? Who are generally the customers there?
For us, customers are gas producers. So like ONGC and Vedanta, Cane Oil and Gas are larger customers for gas processing facilities.
So the city gas distributors generally they don't use our pump sets for increasing the pressure in the pipeline. I'm really sorry, I don't know, so I'm just asking.
Yeah. So for city gas distribution, the requirement of compressor is quite low versus which we operate on wells. And so in city gas distribution network, our services are not there because we operate with quite a huge amount of quantity of gas.
Sure. And in the for the customers like Vedanta and ONGC, the gas, how is the ordered structure generally? Is it a maintenance contract or is it just a one-time installation and then it runs for a particular lifetime? How is generally that particular business? Is it repetitive?
Yes. So these are service contracts and largely these contracts have been awarded in the range of 3 to 5 years. And on completion of those 3 to 5 years, they'll come up for rebidding.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Our revenue generally depends on the quantity of gas we process.
Okay. So it's like an annuity contract. It's not like a one-time revenue booked. And it's a long-term
annuity contract.
Yeah, I have one last question regarding the recent ONGC order. I think in the initial comments, it was mentioned that the payment is front-ended. Can you please explain why is it so? Why is the deal structured that way?
No, so the contract is for 15 years, but it is that we should bill majority of revenue in initial years because once you will take over the field and once we'll start applying the technologies to increase the production. So majority of incremental production we should target in first 10 year itself. And so our billing in first 10 year would be the major one. And eventually that incremental production will start dipping. So revenue in a later part of years would be less than earlier part of years.
Oh, that really answers. And just additional to this, now because anyway we are going into taking responsibility of increasing production and all, do we have any idea of maybe bidding for the already discovered fields or do we have an idea to go into that line of business where we actually own the asset?
No, so we do have our similar kind of business in our different group company, but we do not have any idea to have such assets in deep industries.
Thank you so much. That answers all my questions and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sajdeva from Sajaj Fund House. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir. Sir, my question is, as you know, ONGC and the other major PSUs are going for $1 billion plans for this offshore drilling and government is also pressurizing, why is deep industries not entering into the offshore drilling rigs, recovery rigs?
The offshore drilling rig segment is altogether a different segment with huge amount of capex involved. For an example, my onshore drilling rig, 1,000 horsepower drilling rig, costs somewhere around 45 to 50 crore, versus offshore drilling rig cost somewhere around 500 to 600 crores. And second, this particular segment or business is exposed to competition worldwide. And so their rates are very variable and directly linked with crude price. So we believe that particular business is for deep pocket and a high risk business. And so as of now, we do not intend to enter into that segment.
Okay. My second question is regarding this ONGC project we have bought. the revenue will be linear one, like every year we will be booking like 100, 150 crores, or it will be a variable one?
Yeah, so our estimate says that every year we should book more than 100 crore a year.
Okay. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of M. Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, one question that I have is that with our existing in standalone business, with the existing equipment that we have, what is the maximum revenue potential we can achieve?
See, our existing fleet, if we are just adding 3 rigs in our fleet, so if we consider that also is as an existing equipment, because that capex we have already started doing it, so on those particular numbers, if we'll have to look at, then I would say we can book revenue of somewhere around 460 to 500 crore a year.
This includes all segments, gas compression and onshore, all services and everything we are talking about.
Standalone deep industries, yes.
Standalone. Okay. Thank you, sir. So now with the order book that is coming on our plate, as we see, most probably we have to start doing a capex maybe next year after this new drill rigs that we are buying.
So in current financial year, we are adding 3 new rigs, which will definitely start contributing in revenue probably in Q4 or in Q1 of next financial year. Our targets are that these rigs should start contributing in Q4 itself, well within the mobilization time allowed for those contracts. And with regards to other new orders, depending on the client's requirement, we might have to do capex for buying new equipment. And if client is okay with existing equipment and if we have available equipment, we'll definitely try to use our existing equipment first.
Yeah, the reason for asking this question is that in the context of the bidding pipeline that you are talking about of substantial nature, even if you get a 30% out of that 800 crores bidding pipeline that you are talking about, we will have to prepone this CapEx program, because once we win the contract, we will have to do the mobilization and everything, etc., right, sir?
Right. So as a policy, we always go for CAPEX only after getting a confirm order. And it varies from contract to contract, order to order, that client is in requirement of new equipment or they are okay with existing equipment. So if that award demands for new equipment, then we should go for CAPEX. Otherwise, we do not do CAPEX.
With respect to ONGC contract, do we need to do now that we have order in hand, do we need to do any CAPEX for that one, or it's going to be essentially services?
Yes, we'll have to do CAPEX for that contract as well. But since that contract is of long tenure, we have planned CAPEX in different years. So initially, there will not be much CAPEX, but as per existing plan. But yes, overall, we'll have to do CAPEX for that particular contract as well.
That means we will start doing the CAPEX after 2-3 years of revenue generation, or it's going to be a little later?
So the exact CAPEX plan will be formalized once we take over that field and start implementing the strategy which we have planned.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nirvana Laha from Badrinath Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again, sir. Before moving to questions on standalone business, there's one final clarification on Sabha. So the delay that is happening is more due to the asset refurbishment and not due to issues in getting a contract from a client, right? Is that understanding correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. Thank you. So on standalone, sir, you said that sometime back in the call that you're looking at a 35% growth. So that means this year. So that means about consolidated revenues of 575 crores or 570 crores. And if I take out Dolphin revenues of around 70 crores, that means on standalone you're aiming to do 500 crores. Just now you said that your total capacity that is there that can support a revenue of 460 to 500 crores. So it seems like this is a bit of a stretch this financial year to do 500 crores standalone revenue. So how confident are we that in H2 we will be able to do 280 crores to meet this number?
No, so 35% growth I am expecting on consolidated basis and not on standalone basis. That is one. And out of 570, which we are expecting on consolidated basis, if we exclude Dolphin, then it remains with Deep Industries standalone as well as its other subsidiaries which are contributing around 40-50 crore a year. So that put together 500 and then 70 comes to 570.
Got it. So standalone you are aiming at around 450 crores this year.
460 to 470, yes, 460 around.
And sir, in one of the conferences, at public investor conferences that you had participated in answer to one query for the Rajahmundry revenue enhancement project, you had said that the order book value, the 1400 crores, is calculated based on a gas price of $7. But you said that current gas prices are at $11. But sir, if I am not wrong, this Rajahmundry asset is under the APM price mechanism, right? And the current APM price is $7.7. So are you saying we'll be able to sell this gas at a higher, at a non-APM higher price?
So this asset is not under APM price. The asset which we have got is not under APM price.
Okay. So is it an HPHT field or how is the pricing governed?
Yeah, we can sell it at market price.
Okay. Got it. That clarifies it. And sir, there is, in the standalone balance sheet, there is a 58 crore increase in loans to related parties. So which subsidiary or which entity has this gone to and towards what end has it been disbursed?
The loan of 58 crores has been given to a company called Prabha Energy, which is our group company. And it's a short-term loan recoverable within a year's time.
Okay, and the total balance outstanding with Prabha would be how much? I think there was already a balance outstanding, a loan balance outstanding, right?
The exact number I need to check. I can explain that or give data later on separately.
Sure.
As of now, I'm not having that particular data in hand, yeah.
No problem, sir. And sir, one last question on Dolphin. So you said that the WIP number was looking big because of some transfer from one subsidiary to another. But if I look at the balance sheet size itself has expanded with some other liabilities getting added on the liability side. So it seems like it's not like from one head to another, but it's a expansion of the balance sheet. So any comment here or I can take it offline also?
No, so primarily the capex which we are doing for Prabha has been funded primarily through the QIP which we had done initially and with other loans from Deep Industries. So the liability which you are referring to is loan from Deep Industries, which has increased.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much and wish you all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pawan Kumar from Finvestor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. As we have added three new oil rigs that will be commencing operational by quarter one of financial year 26, if I'm not wrong. What will be the expected revenue from each rig if it is 100% operational? And my second question is regarding the rental days of Prabha after operationalization. It will be contracting for 365 days or neglecting the maintenance day.
So rigs, we are adding three rigs out of these three rigs. One is 1,000 horsepower drilling rig and other two are Waco rigs, of which one is 100 ton and other is 150 ton. So all these three rigs are having different rates, and we have already confirmed order for these rigs, and based on those orders only we are importing them. So the revenue would definitely be as per their orders, which we have already announced in past. Exact number as of now I am not having, but I would say 1,000 horsepower drilling rig should bill somewhere around 3 crore a month, and Waco rig billing should range from 50 lakhs to 75 lakhs a month. With regards to Dolphin, which Prabha, our daily rates are in range of $50,000 to $55,000 per day, and working days we should consider around 330.
Right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sajdeva from Sajak Fund House. Please go ahead.
So in the last con call, you said that you have also bidded for a production announcement in Kane. Any news on it?
So it is still under evaluation. Yes, we have already bidded. As of now, no outcome is there.
And what is the value of that?
As of now, it is difficult to explain about the value unless it is awarded.
Okay. And sir, when is the ONGC expected to go for the second round of this production?
So I think they are quite happy with the awards they had given in first round. And they should definitely come up with second and third round. But the timing we cannot quantify as of now, because it was a first kind of award they had given for this time. So maybe, so I don't think we can estimate that timeline, yeah.
Okay. And my last question is, sir, since our other market related investment, so it will be always depend on the market, how market is fluctuating, the other income.
So my other income largely consists of interest from fixed deposits, debt mutual funds and other arbitrage products. So largely it is coming from that.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you again for the opportunity. Just to continue the questions, one question on the ONGC production enhancement contract. In the last conference, you did specify the revenue model for this. Would it be possible to listen to it once again, please, just to understand it better?
Revenue model, I didn't get your question.
I mean, you mentioned that there's some part of the payment is linked, is fixed. Rest of it, about 65-70% is production linked. So if you can just articulate that once again.
Yes, so the revenue is split in two different modes. One is fixed, which is for their existing production line, and whatever incremental production we achieve, we will get our services charge, which are similar or you can say equivalent to 64% of revenue of that particular incremental gas.
Understood. Okay, just a follow up on this. I believe you mentioned that you can charge the market price for this particular region. However, looking at the overall natural gas story, you know, liquefaction plants globally are getting added up, and domestic exploration, as you also articulated, is increasing, which all in all talks about, you know, hints us to a direction of moderation of natural gas prices. And while the contract was ordered considering $7 of natural gas price. Do you think there is any chance of, in the near term maybe, the gas prices falling below that?
Not at all, because currently it is trading somewhere around $12.5 to $13 MMBTU, and price falling below 7, we don't foresee even in rarest of rare thing, kind of.
I mean, because there usually, I think in the APM model, the cap, the top line, the cap is about $6.5, if I'm not wrong.
So in APM, there is a cap. The cap is 7.7 or 6.5, I am not sure. But since we are not under APM, we do not have to worry about it.
Understood. Thank you. So my next question is about, the other businesses, including the international business in the Middle East and the booster business. I think it's called RAS. Can you tell us a little bit about, those businesses' performance in this quarter and a short to medium-term outlook for each?
So in Middle East, we provide various gas processing services from compression, dehydration, and processing to countries like Egypt and Oman. And this particular company is contributing around 40 to 50 crore a year. And we believe it should continue contributing the similar amount with growth of around 10-15%. With regards to booster compressor business under RAS, we are not anticipating much growth because the GAs which have been awarded for city gas distributions are getting extensions, and so the demand of those booster compressors is not picking up as per our expectation. So that particular company is contributing not more than 15-20 crore a year.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And my final question is more like a fundamental one. I mentioned previously that, we are new to this business. So any investor who comes and evaluates an oil and gas company usually is attracted by the, good valuations. And such is the case with Schlumberger, such is the case with Deep Industries as well. However, the first risk that comes to mind is obviously risk linking to the crude prices globally, and considering a very uncertain year and possibly, I'm sure it, I hope not, but possibly continuing over the next year as well. Can you talk a little bit about the Deep's business as a link with global crude prices?
So our business is not at all linked with crude prices or their fluctuation, because primarily we are into services business, and our service contracts are fixed price contracts for the tenure of contract. So once we have entered into a contract with X rate, those rates will continue for the tenure of contract. They are not at all being affected by crude price. Second, in our overall service mix, our major focus is on natural gas rather than on oil, because in our drilling rigs or workover rigs, if my client is giving me to drill oil wells, then only we are exposed to crude oil. Otherwise, we are drilling gas wells also and oil wells also. Other than that, our entire service portfolio is pertaining to natural gas, which is not direct linked with crude oil prices. And since our entire business is largely domestic within India, so we haven't seen any direct relation with crude oil prices in last 30 years. In fact, we have seen some times where crude was going down and our services rates were increasing. So I don't think we have any direct impact of crude price in Deep Industries business.
Understood. This was very helpful, sir. Just the final follow-up, if I may. Do you think the exploration they come down, I mean, the velocity of exploration comes down when there is tensions in the global crude prices. It's just my limited understanding of the industry, and I really appreciate your detailed answers so far.
See, generally it is an which everyone carries, because developing a particular field and reaching to the production level, it's not 1 or 2 months job. So if you will start increasing your exploration plans where crude oil is crude is at lower level, then you can be able to position yourself to sell crude when it is going to higher level. So it is not like 2-3 months or 6 months job. Developing a field is require 1-1.5-2 years time. And so I don't think with reduction in crude price, exploration activities will start dipping. And largely clients which are PSUs like ONGC, they largely run on national interest rather than making it profitable. And so to meet the country's energy requirement, we haven't seen such clients are reducing their exploration plans in any crude oil price. Yeah.
This was very helpful. Thank you very much, sir, for the answers, and best wishes for the festive season.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shrikar Sai, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So, a very good afternoon. So, it's regarding our production enhancement contract business, sir. So, would you say how many competitors we have, like the number of competitors, like the major number of competitors, like, you know, 2, 3, 4, something like that? And the follow-up is that this is another small company. I mean, compared to Deep, it's a smaller company. So they have received a certain contract which is worth nearly 3,500 crore, and same for 15 years of tenure. And I think this is the same like production enhancement contract, sir. So can you please throw any light on it, sir?
Yes, so in first round of this production enhancement contract, few other companies have also received similar kind of awards for different fields. So in this particular kind of business, the selection of field is very crucial, because if you do not have any data or knowledge about geology of that particular field, then getting such contract may not be that fruitful, even if you get contract for 15 years, because you'll have to understand and evaluate the geology of those particular fields well in advance before even applying for those fields, because at the end of day your revenue is more linked with incremental production. And so we have been able to select the field which we believe is very resourceful, and from which we can definitely increase the production and get our best part of revenue. Second, in increasing the production and developing this particular field, the experience and the equipment portfolio required to develop or to increase the production is immense. So we as a company with experience of more than 30 years in this particular field can develop that particular field or increase the production by our internal fleet and our own manpower and technology, versus if others are getting such contract, they'll have to come to companies like us to develop their fields. So net-net, I would say it would be more beneficial to Deep than others in such kind of production enhancement contract.
Okay, thank you, sir. Exactly. So this is one other company, like just like 1 or 2 months back, it was banned by ONGC for like 2 years. So can we say that this particular company, like when they were not banned in this particular field, like in production enhancement contract field, was this particular company which just got banned like by an ONGC for 2 years, was it a competitor for us?
So I am not sure which company you are referring to. Probably that Mr. Savla can reply, but unfortunately he could not be continuing on this call. So we do not have answer to that. Yeah.
Sir, the next question is regarding HF offshore. We have made preferential issue for like nearly $1.5 million for HF Hunter shipping PPE. So what is that regarding, sir?
So that's from the subsidiary of Dolphin and not from Deep.
Okay. So
sorry to interrupt. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference call.